All right, go over to Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Remember how I said we were going to talk about God's power this week? Man, did I lie about that. We'll blame this one on the Lord, I hope. As I was studying, different things opened up. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about something a little bit different here. Still on the whole idea of contentment. But what I want to do is I want to look at some reasons that I think we've got to expose. Reasons why we're not content. Because if we don't dig in and find these reasons maybe why we're not content and take care of it at that level, how are we ever going to come to a place where we have a real contentment that is sustained? So what we're doing here is we're looking at Paul's instructions on how to be content through the end of chapter 4. I still think we're going to end Philippians next week. Let's see how I said I still think. We'll see what happens. But just a quick background and review. The Philippians have sent Paul a generous gift. Paul is writing now to thank them for that gift, but notice he throws in a very quick disclaimer. Look at verse 10 and 11. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Then he says this, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. So what Paul is doing here is he wants them to understand. He goes, okay, I'm thanking you for the gift, but I also need you to understand that I'm not thanking you because I was in desperate need, that I was unhappy, that I was discontent with where God has me. He says, I want you to understand that I've learned something to be content in any and every situation I find myself in, including being constrained in a Roman prison, chained up to a Roman guard. He says, even in that situation, under very lean times. Now, when you were in a Roman prison, you know what? They didn't bring you in food. If you couldn't get food on your own, somebody bringing it to you, you didn't eat. And so those prisoners were in very lean times. But Paul is still saying, you know what? I'm still content. And we saw last week, just as a quick review, that his contentment was built on the whole idea of the truth of providence. That his contentment wasn't based upon external circumstances because his circumstances externally certainly weren't that good, that pleasant, that comfortable. But we saw that his contentment was built on the truth that God is in control of everything that happens in his universe, including everything that happens in our life. And he has promised out of his love and out of that perfect planning that everything that comes into our life through that control is going to end up working for our good. Everything. And so out of those truths, Paul was able to have joy and satisfaction and contentment even in a Roman prison. So he says, if I have abundance or have little, I'm content. When living in a luxurious home or being chained in a prison cell, I'm content. When excited about future ministry opportunities or facing a future death sentence, perhaps, which he was facing, he says, I'm content. Why? Because God's in control. Therefore, Paul saw it all as part of the same plan, all motivated by the same love, all directed by the same perfect wisdom, all for the same purpose, for Paul's development, for the kingdom's advancement, and for God's glory. It's all part of the same plan. Whether in prison or out in freedom, it's all working to the same end, which I desire, God's glory, the kingdom's advancement, and my development. And therefore, however God desires to bring that about, I'm content. I'm satisfied. Now, we miss all this, I think. We miss this whole idea of providence so much in our life. I was reading in my devotions today in Mark, and it just hit me that in Mark, where I was at, remember when Jesus sends the disciples out into the storm? And then he calms the storm? Don't we love passages like that? Because we start going through tough times, and we're like, oh, Lord, calm the storm. You're so good. And we forget that in his providence, he's the one who sends us into the storm. And it's all the same plan. It's all for the same purpose. It all comes through the same love. Do you get that? Going into the storm, that is through the same exact fatherly love as when he calms the storm. And it's all meant for our good. And we have to trust Him in the storm as much as we do in the calm. And trust that we're still in that same perfect plan. This comes through love. It comes through the perfection of God's wisdom. When He plans for my life, He never makes a mistake. And I trust Him for that. But notice, we saw last week, this is still review, Paul said that this was something he had to learn. Isn't that encouraging? Because I think we think that Paul just kind of got saved, and then everything was, well, he was content. No, he had to learn these things. He had to learn how to be content. And how that encourages me is, it shows me that Paul wasn't always content like this, but he learned how to be. And so it shows me that I can learn how to be content too. And I look at my own life and I am learning, aren't you? I mean, right now, I am so much more content when storms come into my life than I used to be. I still have a long way to go, but I'm learning how to do it. And I'm much more content than I was before. So I thank God. God's teaching me these lessons. Long way to go. But I'm not where I used to be. I've seen growth. And I saw a lot of growth this week. I'm going to talk about my week. I'm going to make this very personal. I'm going to talk about my week in a minute. It's been a very interesting week. It seems like when I teach on things, God says, you know what? Okay, you told them to be content when they're in the storm. Let's see if you're willing to do it. I always get to test the teaching, it seems like. So from now on, all I'm teaching about is God's abundance and God's comfort. It's been a really interesting week. But this week, here's what we're going to look at. Here's the outline. When contentment is impossible, here's where we get ourselves into trouble, I think. When we turn wants into needs. Second, when we trust in anything but God. And the third one, when we fail to fight for contentment. That's an interesting one. First one, we lack contentment when we turn wants into needs. The Bible's clear, isn't it? Be content when, 1 Timothy 6, 6 or 8 says this, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. Then it says this, verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. What's he saying there? Don't need anything more than what you really need. And then he defines, here's what you really need. Food and clothing. In other words, here's what you really need. You need the basics. You don't need anything more than that. And when you have that, be content. Now, we get into spiritual trouble when we begin to need our wants. And you know what? We can take any want. We're really good at this. Take any want and then shove it over into the need category. Are you good at that? I am. I'm really good at that. And when we do that, what happens? We make contentment an impossibility because we have all these wants and now our contentment's based on those. And God has never promised that we'd get all our wants. He said, I'll give you your needs. And so it can be like this. I don't just want a better job, which is legitimate. There's nothing wrong with that. It becomes a problem when you need a better job to feel satisfied and to be content. I don't just want a bigger house because maybe the family's gotten bigger. When the family outgrows a house, it's legitimate to want a little more room. But when you need another house to be content, now you have some problems. And we can do this with anything, can't we? We can do this with clothing. We can do this with cars. We can do this with relationships. We can do this with having children. I can't be happy until I have kids. We can do this with getting married. I mean, we can just do this with anything. Shove those wants into the need category, and I can't be happy until. And if that's the way we want to live, we're never going to be content because you will always want more. You're just the kind of person who always needs something else to be happy that's beyond your present portion in life that God has already given you. Again, nothing wrong with wanting to be married. Nothing wrong with wanting a bigger house if you've outgrown it. Nothing wrong with wanting a nicer car if you need something like that. But, listen, if you're going to base your contentment on that, you're going to have trouble being content. It's like we saw last week. Remember the millionaire? They asked, how much more does it take to be satisfied? And he said, just one more dollar than I have. That's the kind of person who is never going to be content because they've made wants needs. His needs were amply supplied, but his wants weren't. And therefore, he couldn't find a place of contentment. But we think, you know what, if we just had enough, if we just have more, we're going to be content. Let me read you a quote from O.J. Simpson. Remember him? He got into a little trouble there in Los Angeles. This was before that. This was back in 1978 when he had everything there. He was the star of the NFL. Had just come out of USC, been Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he just had everything going for him. He says this. This is from People Magazine. I sit in my house in Buffalo, and sometimes I get so lonely it's unbelievable. Life has been so good to me. I've got a great wife, good kids, money, my own health, and I'm lonely and bored. I often wondered why so many rich people commit suicide. Money sure isn't a cure-all. What's the problem there? Can't find a place of contentment because you always need something else. Here's the principle, isn't it? Drink from this world and you'll get thirsty again. Right? You'll always get thirsty again when you drink from the things of this world and you base your contentment on that. Only God, now get this, only God truly satisfies, and only God is big enough to satisfy your thirst. Have you noticed that? Only God is big enough to satisfy your thirst. If you get away from Him, you get a distance between you and Him, you know what? You start to thirst again, and you start bringing in the things of the world. The world starts looking very alluring, very tempting, but you're never satisfied because the world can't satisfy the thirst of a spiritual soul. Only God can. And you need to draw near to Him. So be careful. Your contentment is under intense attack. Notice that? Our contentment is under intense attack. And we have all of these forces that are trying to make our wants needs. That is the message of the world, isn't it? You can't be content unless you have all of this stuff. Every time you turn on your TV or turn on your radio or open a newspaper or open a magazine, your contentment's under attack, isn't it? You have all of these ads in there designed by these experts that are trying to induce into your soul greed. Trying to tell you, listen, unless you have this kind of car, you wear these kind of clothes, you drink this kind of beer, you can never be happy. But if you have this car, wear these clothes, drink this kind of beer, you know what? Look at all the friends you'll have. Look at how much fun it all is. And if you can't afford it, MasterCard will take care of it. Instant gratification at 15% interest. You know what the average credit card debt per household with credit cards is right now? $15,788. What does that tell us? That this is a nation consumed by greed. I need it, and I need it right now. And I'm willing to get into such debt to get it that I can never even pay off the interest, let alone the debt. This nation is being consumed by greed, and you know what tags right along with it? This nation is being consumed by discontent. You cannot be in debt like that and be content. You can't do it. So our contentment is under attack by these experts who are trying to tell us what you want is really what you need. Be careful. But there's another thing where our contentment is under attack, telling us what you want is what you need. And you know what? It's not only coming from the world, it's coming from the church. I've talked about this before, so I don't want to spend too much time, but I want you to think about this. There is a confused theology that's stamping a biblical approval on greed today, isn't there? You're the king's kid and you deserve the best. God wants you to have the best. Why? Because that's a good testimony. Is it really? You know what? I think a better testimony is this. When you don't have the best and you're still happy and you're still content because you have the true treasure who is Jesus Christ. That's a testimony. If you have everything the world has to offer, what kind of testimony is that? I'm not saying that's bad. But I'm saying that the world's not going to look at you if you have everything the world has to offer and say, man, it must be the Lord that's making him content. They're going to say, no, it's the stuff. But if you're driving around in an old beater or whatever and you're still content, Now I think the world's going to look at you and go, you know what? Wow, that's different. And he's not acting like he needs everything. He's just happy. I think that's a great witness. I mean, you see that with Paul in his prison cell in Philippians 1, 12 through 14. I mean, there he is, chained to a Roman guard. He's just content. He's rejoicing. He's satisfied, singing praises. And it says in Philippians 1, 12 through 14, it says this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In prison, content. What a testimony. What's happening? Unbelievers are getting saved. And the believers are looking at his contentment in prison and his joy and saying, look at what God does in a life that just serves him. And they're getting bold. And now they're saying, I am going to witness too. I am going to testify about Christ. And if I end up in jail, I'll be all right because look at what's happening with Paul. He seems happier in there than most people out in freedom. That's a testimony. To serving God faithfully. Being content, being satisfied, being joy-filled, even when your life is being turned upside down. That's a testimony. And the world will sit up and take notice when God becomes our treasure and we're satisfied in Him, even when it seems like things are lacking. So Paul had this incredible testimony. He was just satisfied in Christ. So be careful. There is teaching out there that's infiltrating the church, influencing so many. It says, what you need is your wants instead of just wanting what you need. And it is producing a greed in Christianity that is so God-dishonoring and so contentment-destroying. You've got to be careful. And it's influencing so many. So, first thing, we will lack contentment when we turn wants into needs. Second thing, we will lack contentment when we trust in other things rather than God alone. Think of this one. You'll never have lasting contentment if it depends on anything in this world. And this is kind of dovetailing with the one we just saw, but let's look at it from a little bit different angle. Just want to expose these things to see if this is where we're at. Listen, contentment will flourish when our trust is in God alone. And so I think we have to ask ourselves honestly, what am I linking my contentment to? What is it? That's a good question, isn't it? Because I'll tell you what, I want to be a content person. And so I've got to step back, take a look at my life and say, what is my contentment then linked to? Is my contentment linked to things where I cannot be content in? Do I have a possibility of contentment? If you are linking contentment to things like bodily strength, how about health, looks, age, sickness, and gravity happens. It is going to take your contentment. Eventually, it's going to take your contentment. Guaranteed. How about the perfect family? You have your dreams. You know the way it's all supposed to work out. Good Christian family. Boom, 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 boom. It's all in place. Listen, how many times do people take wrong directions? Make bad choices. Don't turn out like you had planned. You know what? You'll never be content if you're linking your contentment to somebody else. Man, woman, child. They're all going to fail you at times. They're all going to disappoint you at times. They're not stable enough for you to link your contentment to. How about finances? Good luck with that one, right? You want to link your contentment to finances? Link it to something else, especially with what's happening in the Middle East. We have no idea what's going to happen with oil, with our economy. The Bible says, just take a glance at riches and they take wings and fly off. That's for sure. I can't think of one thing. I have really thought this through. This week, I have done a self-examination and said, Bill, where's your contentment linked to? What is it attached to? And I can't think of one thing in the world that is stable enough to attach my contentment to. Can you? There's nothing. Look to anything else, and you will be tossed to and fro, up and down, and a whole lot down. But listen to what David says. Here's stability, something to base everything on. I love this, Psalm 36, 5 through 9. And this is why, brothers and sisters, you have to be in your Bible. You have to be in your Bible. I go through the Bible. I've got a Bible in a year program that I'm going through. You know what? And it's constantly speaking to me, constantly helping me. I'm thinking, man, if I had to face things that we go through at times through my own thinking, I'd be destroyed. But the Bible's constantly helping, constantly giving me strength. I'll be in the Word. But this was from the daily reading, I think 2 days ago, Psalm 36. I'll just take verse 5 through 9. It says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your rivers of delight." There's something there. We got to do a study on that one. "Letting them drink from your rivers of delight, for you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." That's good stuff. Unfailing love, as vast as the heavens. In other words, immeasurable. Never ending. That's the divine love that's being poured into my life every day. Psalm 23 talks about His love pursuing us relentlessly in the Hebrew. Your love daily pursues me relentlessly. Your goodness. And He's faithful, reaching beyond the clouds. Again, immeasurable, never ending. He is the fountain of life. You want to have life? You want to have rich life, satisfying life? I'm not talking about money. I don't care about any of that stuff. This world cannot satisfy you. You want life that's satisfying, life that is rich? Draw near to the fountain of life. Get close to Him. Remember that Psalm, Psalm 1, where it talks about the tree? Psalm 1:3 says, "The person who is meditating on the Word of the Lord and on His law, he meditates day and night." He says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." It says, this tree is ever vibrant, ever alive. The leaf doesn't wither. The tree is prosperous. And what matters? Spiritual things. The tree produces much fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, joy, peace. You want joy and peace? Then draw near to God. Why is this tree so vibrant? Why is this tree so fruitful? Because of where it's planted. It's planted right next to its source of life. You want fruit. You want love. You want joy. You want peace. You want satisfaction. You want contentment. Draw near to the source of life. Drink from His rivers of delight. Right? It's the only way. It's the only way. He will satisfy you. This world will leave you empty. So what have we seen so far? Paul was content because he trusted in God's providence. We've seen what will keep us from being content. When we allow our wants to become needs, and when we trust in anything else but God Himself, get close to Him. Get close to Him. Live for Him. Then the next one I think is interesting. We will lack contentment when we fail to fight for it. We will lack contentment when we fail to fight for it. I think we think everything should come easy in the Christian life. You know what? I have discovered in my life, my Christianity, few things come easy. I fight for most. I fight for faith. I fight for joy. I fight for peace. And this week, I really discovered fighting for contentment. How it works in my life, I don't know about you. I wake up, and I'm not all cheerleaderly, if that's a word. You know, "Good morning, Mr. Sun. Gosh, it's a great day," and I'm in a Disney movie with the little animated birds flitting around singing and the bunnies tidying up my room. I wake up, and it's more like Silence of the Lambs or something. I wake up grumpy and negative and stressed. I wake up almost every morning stressed. And it just feels like the weight of everything is on me to greet me every morning. And you know what? I have to fight. That morning, I fight for joy and peace and contentment afresh. It seems like every morning, that's how it works in my life. So I don't wake up contented. I have to fight for that. Well, let me tell you about my week last week. I've had a very interesting week. Tuesday, our cat got real sick, like dying sick. And so we took it to the vet, and by what he charges, he obviously needs a new mansion. Unbelievable, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, you get the quote, and you're going, excuse me, I think you're mistaken. You must have the paperwork for open heart surgery on the President of the United States. This is a cat. It's a cat. This is the one that I pay for its food, and I pet it, and it purrs. And when he decides that it's time to stop petting him, he bites me. It's that thing. Okay, same day. I've now got the open heart surgery quote for our cat. It wasn't that, but it sure seemed like it. Same day, our good car dies. Our 99 car instead of the 96. It dies. I get that estimate. It's like, are you working on the space shuttle? This is a car. Thursday, our other car dies, so now I have no car. The mechanic drops me off from working on the other car, and he listens to it. I go, well, listen to this. And he goes, I'd be much more worried about that car than the one we have in the shop right now. That's going to be a lot more expensive. I'm going, what? Same day, a couple hours later, the water man shows up at our door. And he goes, you have a leak somewhere in your house because your water has gone up double more than the month before. And are you responsible for the bill? Yes. He goes, it's going to be huge. Of course. On top of that, listen to this. Same week, my golden retriever tried to bite me. That's a golden retriever, nipped at me. I'm like, what? So we decided to settle the pack issue at that moment. I'm now the alpha dog again, just want you to know. Then this morning, I go out and the car wouldn't start again. I get here and Carrie calls me and goes, where's the keys to the other car? So I worked on the car, got it started, then had to run back and give her the keys. So all I'm saying is if you have any bad news, take a number. And here's the only reason I even bring it up. I mean, this has been one of the greatest weeks of my life. I'm honest. I'm sincere when I say that. I have had so much joy, so much satisfaction, so much contentment this week. And the reason why I bring this up is to tell you that the truths we've been seeing in Philippians work if you apply them. If you apply them. I had to wake up every morning and fight for joy. And I had to go back through Philippians and say, okay, Lord, you have exhorted me, commanded me to be content. And how do we do this? And so I would wake up fighting with the word. No, I'd wake up, first of all, with the old friend stress, reminding me about cars and about everything else and about cats and about finances and about everything. I had a choice at that point. I could accept that, carry it into my day and say, well, that's just the way it is. Or I could fight for contentment, fight for joy, fight for peace. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, you fight with the word, don't you? You need truth to replace the lies your imagination is feeding you. And so I do suggest you get some kind of program like a Through the Bible in a Year or whatever it is. There's tons of programs out there. Just be consistent because you'll be amazed at how many times your daily devotion lines up with your life and it just gives you that truth you need to stand strong and to have joy. And the one I like, that Bible in a Year, the one thing I like about it is you're constantly in the Psalms. And I don't know about you, but when I'm going through times that are weird and strange, the Psalms really talk to me. And so you're always in the Psalms. You need truth. You need the promises, don't you? Because I can try to figure this all out. And in my own thinking, I'm never going to find a place of joy or contentment. But when I have the promises there and say, God, you've said, how much strength is in that? You've said. You've said you're going to take care of me. One of the Psalms I was reading said, even in times of famine, the godly, God's children, will have enough. Great promise. You need to remember truth you've already learned, sinking through that, applying what you've already learned. So I'm going through all this. It's trying to steal my contentment, but we had just studied contentment. And so throughout the whole week, I'm saying, Lord, help me. I want to be content. I want to be obedient. I want to obey what we've learned. And so, Lord, through your strength, I choose contentment. Lord, help me. And I want to pass this test. And I want to be content. So I had that strength going on all through the truth. Then fight with prayer. Remember we read, replace stress with prayer? Look at verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Three elements there. Prayer, supplication, and then thanksgiving. Remember, the prayer wasn't actually the petition part. We could say that prayer was just really setting the tone for prayer. It is adoration and worship. It is running through your mind who you're talking to. I'm talking to my Father who loves me. I'm talking to my Father who owns everything in this world, who has enough resources to help. I'm talking to my Father who wants to help, who delights in taking care of me. Fathers, don't you delight in taking care of your children? You think our Heavenly Father doesn't? He delights in taking care of us. He delights in providing for us. That's the Father we go to. So we spend a little time thinking about who He is. And then supplication is the petition. Lord, you see what's happening here. And Father, I need help. And then the thanksgiving. Here's the big one. I noticed as I was fighting for contentment was the issue of thanksgiving. And Father, I thank you that you do love me. And that all of this is part of your perfect plan for my life. You knew that both cars were going to die in the same week. You knew that the cat, when you gave it to us, was going to get sick on this day, same week. You knew about the water. You knew about, it's all part of your perfect plan of love, God, that is developing me, that is working in my life, something I need worked in there. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for providence. I thank you that none of this is out of your control. I thank you that it's all working for my good, that it's all beneficial, that it's all developing me. It's not meant to destroy me. And I thank you for what you're doing here. And you know what? As I was thanking God, every morning I just felt the pressure lift. It was awesome. I felt the pressure lift. I felt joy flood in. And by the time I was done with my devotions, I was filled with peace, joy and contentment that I carried through the rest of the day. I was walking around so filled with God, so filled with joy. You know those times where it's just you're walking so close to the Lord and He's so real that you're just having those times of spontaneous worship? Don't you love that? The foretaste of heaven. That's why it's going to be in heaven all the time. You're in a Target or you're in this or that and your heart is just in the heavenlies and you know, you just feel like raising your hand right there in the middle of the store, but you know that everybody thinks you're weird, so you keep them down. You got to go like this. That's been my week. But think of this. If I hadn't fought for joy in the morning, if I hadn't fought for contentment, what would I have carried into my day? The stress, the defeat, instead of the victory and the worship. So I think a lot of times we're not content because we simply don't fight for it. And I am exhorting you, fight for joy. Fight for faith. Fight for contentment through prayer and through the truth of the Word in the morning. What happens is when you do that in the morning, it's the rudder of your day, isn't it? And you point your day at God. You need that. We all need that. So anyway, this has been a great week. And I'm a lot worse off financially, but I'm a lot better off spiritually. A lot poor financially, a lot richer spiritually, and I'll take that trade anytime. Won't you? I'll take that trade anytime. And it's been interesting. I've had a few people go, well, you need a newer car. You know, well, probably. You know, honestly, I can say, but if I had better cars at this point, I would have missed all those lessons. I thank God for the cars we have. I thank God that they both broke. I thank God what this week has been like and the lessons I've learned. It's been an awesome week. And I thank God that He allowed me to go through this at the end of Philippians so that I could apply the truths of Philippians and go, that really works. This is the way I want to live my life. And so it's been a great week. So we'll close this up. To me, Christianity is just incredible. Isn't it? I mean, who but a Christian can have their whole week fall apart at so many levels and just go,
I am having the time of my life. This is great. God is so alive, so faithful. And that's what truth, the Bible, is meant to do. When we trust what it's saying and we apply it and we fight for these things that it's telling us to fight for. So contentment. This is based on providence. God is in control. He's got a perfect plan for your life. That perfect plan runs through His wisdom, which never makes a mistake. It is motivated by His love to bring about the best in your life. Always working towards the best. All things work to the good. We find we aren't content when we allow our wants to become needs. If your wants are now your needs, you'll never be a content person. Never. When we trust in other things rather than God alone, because there is nothing else that can satisfy your thirst but God. Everything else is too small, too temporal. And when we don't fight for contentment, when we don't fight for contentment and let circumstances and our emotions control us, we'll never be content. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for how real You are, how great You are. I thank You that You're bigger and more wonderful, Lord, than any of the problems that we might face. Lord, that the immensity of who You are can just crush the circumstances this life can throw at us. And Father, I pray for this church. I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters. Pray for myself that we would find a place of greater contentment. That we would be learning these truths that Philippians sets out and be applying them. Be walking with You with a great joy, a great peace, great satisfaction. Lord, You are the fountain of life. You're the life giver. Lord, help us to draw near to You. Don't let us live at a distance, Lord. Deal with that. Draw us near so that we're not looking for satisfaction anywhere else, but in our relationship with You. So, Father, we give ourselves to You. We pray that this message, messages before on joy, would impact our life. That our life would be a testimony to a lost and dying world that lacks joy and lacks contentment. That they would see something different in us. That we have found the true treasure and we are satisfied there. In Jesus' name, amen.